book of Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. I'd like to read verses 24 and 25 of Isaiah 42. These aren't the verses the message is coming from, but we want to begin by reading these verses. Who gave Jacob, who be God, for a spoil, and Israel to the robbers? That speaks of God's judgment. Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law. Therefore he hath poured upon him the fury of his anger, and the strength of battle, and set him on fire round about, yet he knew not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. In those verses, mention is made of the sin of God's people, and as a consequence, God's judgment, God's wrath upon them. Then we come to Isaiah 53. But now. Those two words suggest a contrast to what has been said, what we just read. But now. And what follows is God comforting and encouraging these very same people that he spoke of in verse 24 and 25, who were under the heavy weight of affliction due to their sin. But now. So he's encouraging them, he's comforting them. He does so by reminding them what he has done in the past. He says 12 times in Isaiah chapter 43, I have, referring to what he has done. He also encourages them by promises. He says 6 times in Isaiah 43, I will. And he also encourages them, declaring who he is. 8 times he says, I am. So as you read the chapter, you see these phrases. I have. I will. And we can say this is because of who I am. So glorious and very relevant truths are stated in this chapter that ought to have a tremendous impact upon our hearts and lives. What we read in Isaiah 43 ought to inspire and motivate and strengthen God's people on the journey. It is the realization and the application of these truths, I have, I will, I am, that enables us to live a victorious life. And it also enables us to look at the difficult places of life through a proper lens. And that is our subject. The difficult places viewed through a proper lens. We are very prone to view life through the wrong lens. We are very prone to view the difficult places through the wrong lens. What we read here in Isaiah 43, we're mostly going to look at the first 21 verses. We're not reading them for time's sake. What we read here are the words of the Lord. Verse 1, verse 14, and verse 16. We read, "Thus saith the Lord." Isaiah would use that phrase 34 times in the book. So what we read here are the words of the one who cannot lie, the words of the one who cannot be mistaken. He cannot be wrong. He cannot be inaccurate. And this one, this God, has something to say. And he still does. He's all-knowing, and he has something to say. He loves us. He cares for us. He nurtures us. He's been and he is merciful and long-suffering, gracious, good, and faithful toward us. And he has something to say. And what he says should slay all doubt. And he never speaks without reason. He never speaks without a purpose. He never speaks without a cause. He never speaks that which is unnecessary. He never speaks that which is frivolous. Thus saith the Lord. That means when you speak, you express yourself. So if God speaks, he expresses, he reveals, and makes known himself. He makes known his will. He makes known what pleases him. He makes known what is best for us. He makes known what will work. And he makes known what will glorify him. So in our text, it is really, "But now, thus saith the Lord." Whatever your now is, the Lord has something to say. And the truth is, he's already said it. He not only has something to say, he has something to say to you, to me. But now, the Lord has a word of instruction, whatever your now is, a word of exhortation, a word of warning, a word of correction, perhaps. But God has a word, specifically for you and I. And again, whatever God says is of significance. And whatever God says takes precedence over whatever anyone else has said or will say. Our attitude should be that of Samuel, 1 Samuel 3, verse 10. "Speak, O Lord, for thy servant heareth." Whatever our now is, that ought to be our attitude. Lord, talk to me. Speak to me, Lord. I'm listening. That ought to always be the case. We'd save ourselves a lot of trouble if that were so. Twice in verses 1 and 5, the Lord exhorts his people, "Fear not. Fear not." Those two words reveal the condition of the people. They reveal the now that the people were experiencing. "Fear not" reveals the need of the people. It is a call to courage. It is a call to be possessed of strength and steadfastness in the midst of what would naturally cause fear. So in this message of Isaiah, the Lord is calling upon them to have, to possess courage in the difficult places. Again, twice he gives this exhortation, "Fear not." He gives it several times throughout the book of Isaiah. And every time it's followed by a reason why they shouldn't fear. And the reason is always God. Both times in our text, it is "fear not for," or for this reason, on account of. And then the next word is I. And what follows I is I have, or I will, or I am. In both cases, here in Isaiah 43. So, this courage that we need is in Him. It's not in us. It's not something you can just work up. But it's found in believing Him. It's found in laying hold of who He is. Laying hold of what He has done. Laying hold of what He will do. And then in verse 2, we read the word when. So we have the word now in verse 1. And we have the word when. When, of course, speaks of future. Something that will happen. And the Lord has something to say in both cases. He has something to say in our now. And He has something to say in our when. And what He says is, fear not. Fear not now, and fear not when. And the reason is, I, God. So let's look briefly at the difficult places. They're in a difficult place. That's brought out in Isaiah 42. But in verse 2, He says, when thou passest through, when thou walkest through, passest, walkest, conveys the idea of traveling. The word through means you're moving from one point to another point. And we in this world, of course, we're just passing through. We that are saved, we're just passing through. Amen. We're going from one point to another. Our final destination, of course, is glory. Heaven. To be with the Lord. We must always remember that. We're just passing through. But as we pass through, trials and difficulties are inevitable. They're going to happen. Again, the word when. There's no doubt upon the matter. There will be difficult places. It's not a question of whether or not we will experience the waters or the rivers or the fire or the flame. That's not the question. The question is when we experience these things. So it's taken for granted, it's assumed that the child of God will have to go through some waters. The child of God will have to go through some rivers. The child of God will have to go through some fire and some flames. There's no doubt upon that matter. When? There will be waters, there will be rivers, there will be fires, there will be flames. We will experience these things. We see that truth all through the Word of God. We read in John 16, verse 33, in this world ye shall have tribulation. It's not a matter if, you will have tribulation. You will have some difficult places. Acts 14, verse 22, that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 4 and verse 12 that we're not to think it as a strange thing concerning the fiery trials which await you or which have happened unto you. When these difficult places come, when these trials come, we're not to think, well, this is really strange. I wasn't expecting this. You ought to always be expecting it because they're coming. We need to settle it in our hearts. We need to settle it in our minds that we're going to personally experience some waters, some rivers, some fire, some flames. But the message is, in it all, fear not. And he gives us reason. The reason, of course, is God. As we travel through this world, the difficulties will be of various kinds. Again, it's mentioned here, waters, rivers, fire, flame. It signifies a variety. There will be an assortment. There will be a mixture. There will be a multiplicity of difficult places. Not only is there a difference between the places mentioned, but not all the waters will be the same. Some will be worse than others. Not all the rivers will be the same. Not all the fire will be the same. Not all the flame will be the same. There will be times when the waters have different characteristics than the last time you were in the water. There will be times when the rivers will have different characteristics than the last time you found yourself in the rivers. And there will be times when the fire and the flame have different characteristics than the last time. And as we travel through this world, trials and difficulties will be at times very severe. At times, the waters and the rivers will be strong. Very rapid, threatening to sweep you off your feet, to carry you along with the current, threatening to drown you, indicated by the words of verse 2, they shall not overflow you. They shall not drown you. So the threat is there. The threat is that you may drown. Those times will come. At other times, the rivers that sometimes the waters and the rivers will be deeper and wider than other times. At times there will be fire and flame threatening to consume, threatening to destroy everything in its path. And again, at times the waters and the rivers and the fire and the flame will appear to be out of control. But it never is. It may appear that way, but it's never out of control. Sometimes some waters last longer than other waters. Some rivers last longer than other rivers. Some fire lasts longer than other fire. Some flames last longer than other flame. But no matter what the severity, the words, Lord, to us is, fear not. For I. As we travel through the world, trials and difficulties will be repeated. You may pass through the same waters, the same rivers, the same fire, the same flames many, many times. And some waters, rivers, fire, and flame, you may only pass through once. You may only have to pass through that water one time. Some you may pass through over and over and over again. But the waters and the rivers, the fire and the flame, they also can come upon us at any time without any warning whatsoever. We pass through these. No matter how long we may find ourselves in the water or the river or the fire or the flame, that doesn't become the place we dwell. We're to be passing through. But again, we never know when. We never know where. And we never know the length of time that it'll take us to pass through. There are several facts revealed here in this chapter that help us to view the waters and the rivers and the fire and the flame through a proper lens. They give us a proper perspective of these things. So we want to look at some of these facts. And what we see ought to be of great assurance to the child of God. In verse 2, you notice the personal pronoun I with reference to God, and thou and thee with reference to ourselves. In other words, there's a connection between God and us. There's a relationship between God and us. And all through the chapter, there are settled facts concerning God and us. Settled facts that the waters cannot change, that the rivers cannot change, that the fire and the flame cannot change. And all of these facts are stated to give support to the exhortation, fear not, fear not. In other words, have courage. So notice some facts, some statements of facts concerning God. In verse 1, He is Jehovah. He is the Lord, the eternal and self-existent one. And Isaiah refers to Him as such throughout the chapter. Also in verse 1, He is our Creator. The Lord that created thee, O Jacob. Jacob is our natural condition, our natural creation. But He's also the potter, and He that formed, shaped, and molded thee, O Israel. He is the miraculous transformer and restorer of our life. It is He that transforms us from Jacob to Israel. God who did that. And none of the waters can change that. None of the rivers can change that. None of the fire, none of the flame can change the fact that God has changed me from Jacob to Israel. Nothing can change that. We also see that He's the Redeemer. For I have redeemed thee. I have purchased and rescued you. He's also the shepherd. I have called thee by name. And He's the owner. Thou art mine. Thou art mine. You put all of those things together, and it all speaks of His power, His authority, His control, His wisdom, His love. We need to view all of our difficult places. We need to view life. We need to view our now and our when through the lens of He is Jehovah. He is the Creator. He is the potter. He is the redeeming shepherd. He is our owner. You view your now and your when and the difficult places through the lens of the fact that these places cannot change. They cannot alter. They cannot undo these glorious truths concerning God. We have His presence. We see it in verse 2. I will be with thee. Those surrounded by the waters, those surrounded by the rivers, those surrounded by the fire and the flame, I will be with thee. And nothing is more present than God. Nothing. Nothing can surmount His presence. He's immutable. In verse 3, notice He says, for He's about to provide a reason why the difficult places will not destroy the child of God. For I am. You will not be destroyed because of who He is. For I am. That's a title that covers past, present, and future. Speaks of the absoluteness of His being. And He goes on to say, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I am the Lord thy God. Strong and faithful one, relevant to everything that concerns you. I am the Lord thy God. I am the Lord thy God, holy, set apart, pure, perfect, thy Savior. I am the Lord thy God, holy, thy Savior. He's our rescuer. He's our deliverer. Again, the implication is power. The implication is ability of God. In verse 5, there is again the promise of His presence. I am with thee. And then there is the promise of what He would do. Notice He's in verse 5, fear not, for I am with thee. I will. That's a promise of something He would do. I am not only with you, I am going to work. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. Verse 6, I will. I will. Then in verse 10, He says, I am He. Before me, there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. What He's saying is, I am with thee and I'm everything. You don't need anything else. I'm everything you need. And that is true, whatever your now is. That is true, whatever your when will be. I am everything you need. In verse 11, again, in relation to I am, He's unparalleled. He says, Even I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Beside me there is no one else. I am everything you need. And then in verse 12, He declares what He has done. He says, I have declared and have saved and I have showed. God has declared to us, God has saved us, God has showed us over and over and over again. And He says, I am with you. We need to view everything through this lens. In verse 13, again in relation to I am, yea, before the day was, I am He. I am He. And there is none else that can deliver out of my hand. In other words, don't look anywhere else. I am everything you need. And I will. I'm everything you need, and I will. I will work. I will work. We need to view all the difficult places. We need to view life that He is God, there is none else, and He will, and no man can let it, no man can restrain it. If God sends waters in your life, you can't stop it. If God sends rivers in your life, you can't stop it. If God sends fire and flame, you can't stop it. And the river, the waters and the rivers and the fire and the flame cannot stop His will or purpose. He is God. We all know that, but we fail many times to view life in that lens or through that lens. He's not limited. He says, I am. Yea, before the day was, I am He. Not limited were confined by space or time. He is sovereign. I will work, and whoso let it. None can thwart his counsels, overthrow his purposes, overthrow his will. So view the waters, view the rivers, view the fire, view the flame through the lens that God is sovereign. Verse 14. Thus saith the Lord your Redeemer. Nothing can change that. God saved my soul, and nothing can change that fact. He is the Redeemer. He is the Holy One. And he says, for your sake, I have. Oh, think of all the things that God has done for us, for our sake. For your sake, I have. And many times, for our sake, he puts us in the water. He puts us in the rivers. And he puts us in the fire. And he puts us in the flame. He does so for our sake. And what that means is that he has an interest. He has an interest in me. He has a concern for me. We need to view everything through that lens. I may not understand everything that's going on, but I can understand this. God is interested in me. God has a concern for me. In verse 15, again in relation to I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Your King. Verse 16, thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. He makes a way in the waters. He makes a way in the rivers. He makes a way in the fire. He makes a way in the flame. And because he makes a way, that's why we pass through these things. We don't get stuck there. We pass through. Be careful where you get stuck. View everything through a proper lens. So no matter what you're now, no matter what your wind may be, and no matter where the waters, the rivers, the fire, and the flame may come upon us, and no matter how severe they may be, they do not change, they do not have any bearing upon the fact of who God is. They do not change God. Also, notice some facts concerning ourselves. In verse 1, we are his workmanship. We that are saved, we've been changed from Jacob to Israel. We are God's workmanship. We continue to be God's workmanship. He's the potter, we're the clay. It also says we're called by name. I've called thee. That means he has distinguished us from others. Thou art mine. That means I belong to him. And all of this is so because of what he says in verse 21. This people have I formed for myself from Jacob to Israel. They shall show forth my praise. That's true. In all the waters and all the rivers and all the fire and all the flame were to show forth his praise. Because of who he is, because of what he does. In verse 4, since thou wast precious in my sight. Child of God, we are precious in his sight. You want to talk about grace? Precious in his sight. That means we are of great value in his sight. And we will not be treated carelessly. If you have something precious, you do not treat that carelessly. And God does not treat us carelessly. We're precious. We're favored. We're loved by him. Amen. Verse 10 and in several other places here in Isaiah 43, we see that we're chosen. We're chosen. My servant whom I have chosen. personally selected, personally picked out. And there's a reason that you may know. I was chosen that I might know and believe me. I have chosen you that you might know and believe me. I have been chosen to know God. I have been chosen to believe God. And many times the waters and the rivers and the fire and the flame, God brings us through those things so that we might know Him more and believe Him more. And He goes on to say and understand that I am He. Chosen to know, to believe, and to understand who God is. We need to view everything through that lens. Verse 20, He says, My people whom I have chosen. So no matter what our now, no matter what our when might be, and no matter where the rivers and the waters and the rivers and the fire and the flame, and no matter how severe these things might be, they do not change. They have no bearing upon the fact that I am His workmanship. I am redeemed by God. I am called by God. I belong to God. I am precious to God. I am favored by God. I am loved by God. And I am chosen by God. Nothing changes that. And we are to view everything through the lens of that truth or those truths. But notice also we have some responsibilities. In verse 7, we are called by His name, created for His glory, formed, I have made Him. So you and I are here for His glory. We must see that in everything. I am here for His glory. I am here to praise Him, to worship Him, to reverence Him, to honor Him, to exalt Him. Regardless of the now, the now does not change the fact that I am here for His glory. The when, whatever it might be, does not change the fact that I am here for His glory. I am here for His glory. That is inclusive of all the waters. That is inclusive of all the rivers. That is inclusive of all the fire and all the flame. I am here for His glory. When I'm in the water, I am to glorify Him. When I am in the rivers, I am to glorify Him. When I am in the fire or the flame, I am to glorify Him. When I pass from the waters to the rivers, and from the rivers to the fire, and from the fire to the flame, I am to glorify Him. We need to see everything through that lens. Those things, the waters and the rivers and the fire and the flame. God puts us in those things just to give us an opportunity to glorify Him. We need to view the difficult places as opportunities. Verse 10 and 12. We're here to be His witness. Verse 10, He says, Ye are my witnesses. And in verse 12, He says, Ye are my witnesses. So we're here to testify of God. We're here, our lives are to confirm the greatness of God. So when the waters come, I am to bear witness of God. And when I pass from the water to the rivers, I am to bear witness of God in the fire and the flame. Doesn't matter the severity of the water. It doesn't matter the severity of the river. It doesn't matter the severity of the fire or the flame. It doesn't matter when they come. It doesn't matter how they come. That does not change the fact that I am here to glorify God and to bear witness of Him. That's our responsibility. That's always our responsibility. And a lot of times, perhaps you might be in a condition where you can't speak, but you bear witness by how you deal with the waters and the rivers and the fire and the flame. And we all have our moments. Job did. We all have our moments. We understand that. But overall, we're to bear witness of God in the difficult places. In verse 10, he says that we are his servants. No matter what the now, and no matter what the when, we're the servants of God. We may be in a time where we're on dry land. You may be in a time when you're in deep waters. You're to serve God either way. Amen. Being in the waters does not give you a get-out-of-jail-free card. Doesn't give you a reason not to serve Him. Well, I'm in the rivers. I have these difficulties in my life. I can't. You've missed the whole thing. We're to serve Him. We're to serve Him no matter what. No matter what the now, no matter what the when. We're to serve Him. So we're all going to have waters. Some will pass through only once. Some we may have passed through over and over and over again. Some you may be in for one day or an hour. Some you may be in for the majority of your life. You don't know. The waters, the rivers, the fire, and the flame. But whatever the case, we're to view them through who God is. What God has done, what God is doing, and what God has promised to do. And we can fear not because of who God is, because of what He has done, and because of what He has promised to do. So what we read here ought to have great impact upon our hearts, upon our lives. These truths ought to inspire us to be what we ought to be, to glorify Him, to bear witness of Him, to be His servant. They ought to motivate us to that. They ought to strengthen us for that. And we all have this journey that we're on. We're all headed to the same place. We may have to go through different things to get there. But we all end up on the other side. And that's because of who He is. It's because of what He has done. It's because of what He will do. So God help us to view the difficult places, not just the difficult places, but God help us to view life through who God is, through what He has done for me, through what He has promised He will do. It changes everything. There are people who have a lens, and it's just a lens of gloom. It doesn't matter what's happening in their life. They look at everything through this lens of gloom and doom. Or we can look at the lens, or they can look at it through the lens of other people. Look at it through the lens of who God is. It changes how we see everything. And it, again, encourages us in our journey. We're on a journey God never promised that the journey would be easy every step of the way. He never promised that. In fact, He's promised just the opposite. So God help us to view things properly. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of song.